I still have not gotten a haircut, so I still have more distance to go down the road of pride. Once I get that haircut, then I am on the fast track to walking my parapet. I mean, when you see my haircut, the next thing you know, I'm going to be on a parapet, and then it's trouble for Martin Zender. Hello, everyone. Welcome. We're closing the week out today. I decided to go without any earphones at all or earbuds, which is kind of scary because I can't hear myself. And it's always comforting to know that I'm actually broadcasting. In fact, I'm worried now that the video is not running. Let me go look. Okay, we're in good shape there. So it's nice to have that comfort. But, you know, so many nice things have been said about my delicate little ears that I want to display them and feel free here on a Friday here at the college. Everything is low-key on Friday at the college. I first thought it was a Caribbean thing. You know, in the Caribbean, they're more laid back, and people are a little at ease. I've heard that when you go to a restaurant, go to a restaurant or a store on any of the Caribbean islands, the Caymans, Jamaica, Bahamas, you know, you're lucky to get waited on. They get around to it eventually, man. They're going to get around to waiting on you eventually, man. You know? So everything's laid back. Well, it's kind of like that at the college, but for some reason they wind down, and Fridays are more like, let's get an early start on the weekend, shall we? So I'm good with it because today I'm going to show you this on the Zender Cam. I've not worn my black loafers, but I have my sandals. That's right. So I'm in the flow here on the Friday college scene. Look at this. More on the analogy between Nebuchadnezzar and Christ. Martin, how can you compare? You're the only guy we've ever heard that would compare Nebuchadnezzar with Jesus Christ. I'm comparing the experience. Why is this illegal? Look, Jesus Christ took on the sin of us all, including the sin of Nebuchadnezzar. He became sin, a sin offering, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So everything that visited Nebuchadnezzar visited him. I mean, he was not a sinner, though. You see, he was not a sinner, but all the sins came on him. And he voluntarily did this. Nebuchadnezzar, it was forced on him. If it was forced on you, what choice do you have? Christopher Reeve did not decide to be pitched off the horse. You did not decide to get cancer or have your wife leave you or whatever horrible thing you're suffering out there. But this one, Jesus Christ, voluntarily took this upon himself. Now, Nebuchadnezzar shoved away, Christ shoved away, just like the burnt offering. And I see an analogy here too, call me crazy. With the animals of the field is your abode. Pardon me, but the priests who were at the foot of the cross mocking him were animals. In fact, I hate to do a disservice to animals by comparing them. Wagging their fingers at him. If you're the Messiah, take yourself down from the cross. Ugh. He was set with animals. In fact, most of his life was spent in discourse with those of an animal-like mind. His disciples were thick and ordinary. The Pharisees were proud and intellectually vacant for all their vaunted education. That was the hard part. They could point to their diplomas. They didn't know anything about God. He was set among ignorance on parade. He was alone there. And here was a human being, Nebuchadnezzar, now wandering after being the king of the world. Oh, there's another analogy. Nebuchadnezzar was taken from a high estate. Again, involuntarily, there are only so many analogies you can draw between Nebuchadnezzar and Christ. He was taken from the king of the world to the field. Jesus Christ, taken from the right hand of God to the cross. And I can't leave this analogy out because this is where we live. Our world, our government, the one world government that is coming upon us, will be taken from the height of power. It's going to be the first world government since Alexander the Great and the Greek Empire. How about that? We haven't had a world government since. No, the Roman government was not a world government. Contrary to popular prophecy, Rome never had control of the whole world. Wanted to, talked the talk, like, let's take a census of the whole world. That was all blow and no show because they never did control the whole world. However, what's coming, the government that we're going to be looking down the barrel of, that we're even now looking down the barrel of, is going to be a world government. It's going to be set at the pinnacle. It's going to be walking the parapet like Nebuchadnezzar. Jesus Christ, again, let me draw this analogy, go with me, was seated at the right hand of God, the majesty of God, the creator of all. Nothing came into being through except through him. And he becomes the lowest of all in Philippians chapter 3, humbling himself even to the death of the cross. And as we're reading about Nebuchadnezzar here, with the animals of the field is your abode. And listen to this part. Herbage will they feed you as oxen. He was fed vinegar on the cross like an animal. They stuck a sponge on a stick, put it up to his mouth. It's just the humiliations are unparalleled. And the humility of Christ to voluntarily subject himself to this for our sakes is just absolutely unbelievable that it would happen to him. All right, sorry, I just had to meditate on that. I had to meditate on Christ. I had to meditate on how I just don't have that kind of love. I don't have that kind of love. I tell you how I strain to love my enemies. I am so honest with you that I tell you I can't even sometimes love my enemies during the day. This is humiliating, really, that I have to wait until night when I think about my own life and who I am and my failures and realize that but for the grace of God go I. And yet the love of Christ comes to us voluntarily in the light of day in front of not only the priests, his mother, his family, his disciples, the world, the celestials. Nothing was ever so open. I picture Nebuchadnezzar in the mists of the night. The night mists come over him, the dew. I'm thinking he hid himself during the day. I'm thinking he only came out at night. This is just me trying to surmise what happened. And when we're humbled, what do you want to do? The first thing you want to do is hide yourself away. You don't parade yourself out in front. Because we have some pride, don't we? We have a little bit of pride left to present ourselves. And when you're depressed, the Greek word for depressed means to unpublic. Those are the elements, unpublic, to go away from the public. That's depression. And yet Christ, as was written about him, this thing was not done in a corner. It was done in front of everyone. It was done in front of the world, in front of the universe. And for that reason, there is where the analogy stops between Nebuchadnezzar and Christ. But let's rejoin, if we can, the analogy. Herbage will they feed you as oxen. Thus seven seasons shall pass on over you till you shall know that the Supreme is in authority in the kingdom of mortals, and to whom he is willing, he is giving it. I believe that things passed over Christ on the cross here with Nebuchadnezzar, seven seasons. But for Christ, so many things passed over him. Satan attacked him in ways that we cannot imagine and that we will not know until we are ourselves having the mind of Christ. We will not know what happened at the cross. Nebuchadnezzar could stand here if he was resurrected and tell us what went through his mind, possibly as he was humiliated. Many of us have gone through humiliating experiences, been in the hospital, been sick, done embarrassing things, whatever. We can relate to you. But it has never been told what Jesus Christ endured on the cross. Never been told the things that passed over him. If you remember, in the days when he was tried by this, by Satan, Satan tempted him with the kingdoms of the world. All this can be yours. He tempted him to give him bread in a time when he was hungering. And not until we have the mind of Christ will we know what Satan did to him, or passed over him, or before him, or vexed him with when he was on the cross. I wouldn't be surprised if seven's a big number to God. It's a number of perfection. Seven seasons passed over Nebuchadnezzar, and he learned. Did Jesus Christ learn some things on the cross? I believe he did. I believe he not only knew he was taking on the sins of the world, but Scripture says that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. I could never dare say Jesus Christ learned anything unless Scripture itself says it. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And did he not suffer on the cross? It was the worst suffering of his life. He learned new depths of the adversary. He became available in horrendously extreme ways to the adversary. Deliverance was offered him on the cross. I believe Satan was speaking through the high priests when they said, deliver yourself from the cross. And so many other unspeakable things that when we are made aware of those horrible hours, you know, and we say 6 hours, I wouldn't be surprised if it was seven. Where do we get 6 hours? At the sixth hour, Jesus cried out. I'm not convinced. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to find out if it was 7 hours on the cross. It just makes sense. Seven. The things that happened to him, God help us all. We'll never understand it until then, but thank God that now we'll never have to experience it. You will never have to experience. I know you're going through hard things now, but you'll never have to experience what Jesus Christ experienced at the cross. We may be humbled like Nebuchadnezzar. If we need it, we may be destroyed bodily because this life's scary. But no matter what happens to us, we will never have to endure what Jesus Christ endured on the cross for our sake, that has resulted today in our justification and our being conciliated to God, in us having peace, and in the guarantee, the future glorification of our bodies.